Well, welcome back, everybody, to Red Thread Podcast. I'm your host, Random Randy, and today we're going to jump back a little bit in time. This is a conversation that I had with Andy Rouse over there at the Deep Share Podcast, and just kind of digging into some of the weird things that come up when you look into history as it stands in the current narrative. Some of the very strange overlaps and just the way things piece together seems a little bit suspect, to say the least. So we explored some, albeit loose, connections sometimes between these cults of the sky, whether it be star worshippers or sun worshippers, right? We have this kind of thing going on throughout time. And, you know, we also have some very similar iconography coming across from land to land or state to state within a given area. Interesting coats of arms, things like this. So it was fun to explore a little bit of that and kind of throw some random thought processes out there with Andy on. And so I think you guys will enjoy this. And, you know, at the end of the day, just go and look into everything that fascinates or, you know, brings curiosity to the table for you. Just dig into that stuff, man, because that's where it's at. And, you know, that's something that I've enjoyed thoroughly, is really breaking into things that we're told about history, about the current paradigm. Where did it all come from, right? Because, you know, if we don't have an understanding of our past, how are we ever supposed to grow and work past all of that stuff that maybe had happened, traumas, things like that? So, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff out there within the current narrative. I mean, Anunnaki, you know, ancient aliens. So, I mean, if it's that outlandish, how much cooler could it be, right? What are the possibilities that we're not told about? Is this really, you know, like some might like to believe or choose to believe, kind of the Fourth Reich that we're living under? Is this a continual bloodline that lies behind the scenes that some have come to know as maybe like the eagle or the serpent, right? So some of those interesting kind of underlying things are, you know, what kind of drives some of the passion in looking into these things and trying to see it from different angles. So I hope you all can dig the angle that is put forth here. And, you know, go take a look at the YouTube. Like I said, it's at Random Fracks. Just search the same as the Instagram name and you'll find everything there that I've appeared in also. So it's great to be getting back into it, guys. And it's really fantastic to be able to have a new kind of aspect to show you and to demonstrate through some blog threads and things like that that bring these thoughts up. You know, I've gone ahead and put some videos out running along those threads, seeing what we can tie together. So it's working out, and I hope that you all enjoy it. Go on over there, give us a like, a share, subscribe, whatever, you know, fits your fancy in the moment. And yeah, feel free and take a look over on all pod players for the Deep Share Podcast. Dude is an amazing guy. I really love chatting with him. And, you know, we'll be getting back in the saddle soon. Hopefully we can get him into the Lord of the Rings discussion that is going to be coming up relatively shortly. We will be visiting the Two Towers this time, myself and Nico from Upstate Unconventional. Shout out to Nico. So I think I got all the current events out there. I know it's a little bit of a long intro. We're going to go ahead and skip the music for today and just jump right into the conversation, guys. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to another Red Thread Podcast. All right.
We could do a cold open or whatever. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, we're got rolling. Game on. We're rolling. We're rolling. Absolutely. You know? For sure.
Deep Share, Red Thread.
That's it.
Swapcast.
Some random wildness for the folks out there. Some generally fun, loose, and sometimes a little tighter associations. Mm. So, you know, it goes all over the place. I'm glad to have got with you, though. I've been wanting to, you know, get with you and also to get with Dan and kind of dive into the box saga. It's an epic kind of undertaking. I'm really glad that you guys have gone out there and done some legwork on that and got, you know, Roots of Creation going and everything. Mm. I thought that was really an ambitious kind of task.
It is. Yeah. It's too much. It's way too ambitious. Right. Like half the time
we feel about Lord
of
the Rings. I'm like, wow. Just like, where do you even start? You know, it's a little more politically charged though, when you're dealing with like an actual supposed history, right? Like
True, you know, but as we were saying before we were recording, right? I mean, the correlations to Lord of the Rings, like you and me could do our own little thing right now about Lord of the Rings and Box Saga, just because there's a lot there.
Absolutely.
In many different forms, you know, but
well, it's crazy. And, you know, all of these kind of backstories, the interesting thing I kind of noticed today when, you know, I wanted to get with you and kind of speak about, like, what is the deal? Like, the first thought was in my mind, what's the deal with Switzerland? You know what I mean? Like, what is the deal? What's the deal with those guys? You know what I mean? Like, no, they're like
neutrality, man.
The neutrality, right? The banking, you know, kind of atmosphere that they embody. You know, they have three separate cities. Each one is a banking center for a different group of countries, right? So they're kind of like this hub in the very center here. And then, like, looking into like the relationship that they kind of have with the outlying areas, like the Danes and the Finnish, you know, and kind of this whole area kind of like coexists relatively peacefully. There's a lot of, you know, tales in the history of the Swedish and the Swiss and the Finnish about a lot of these wars, but they seem to come out of all of these wars in like from probably the 1400s, you know, onto just over 100 years ago, or just about 100 years ago, they come out on top of all these things, all these banker families, you know, just like really, really, they just cash in and then just go back and lie low in the Alps, right? Like they're just like duck back into this little abode. And it's like, what is going on there? How is that possible, right? Everything else has been ravaged. Every other, you know, people's history has been rewritten, but you still have like in these, I don't know, Nordic kind of areas, you still have the ancient tales that are still, you know, all there, right? You still have for lack of a better kind of phrase, you have like religion. And it's interesting is like the amount of paganism that still exists in that part of the world. Although everything that we're told about the Swedish and the Swiss and all of these other groups is kind of centered around like the Crusades and Christianity in a weird way, and but they call themselves Christians, but they're also super about usury, right? Because they're all bankers and lenders and stuff. So it's like, all right, what's really going on over here? And you know, the main thing that kind of caught my mind in thinking about that, well, first of all, these are the whitest people there are, right?
I mean, like, yes, these are the shiny ones.
These are the whitest people that there are on the planet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if being in the sun, you know, enough causes your genealogy to shift to where you darken, I would imagine the opposite would be the same. Mm-hmm. You know, that you would, if you spent a lot of time out of the sun, per se, you would maybe do the opposite and get whiter, right? So that's kind of been my line of thinking on that, is if indeed it is an environmental thing that causes this, you know, melanin situation, you know, maybe that's a part of it. So that kind of, in a weird roundabout way, on top of other things, leads me back to the Box Saga, because there's a period of time that these people spend underground, you know, what you were just kind of talking about in this cavern, Lenninkainen.
Yep.
They're just now starting to explore this and kind of dig it out. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a few hundred miles away from Helsinki, where the Box Saga kind of centers, you know, but
so it's like, it's the hellhole, right?
So what's interesting is that, so this is also a Swedish story too, because this is a story about when the Catholic Church was just dominating all of Scandinavia. And supposedly, according to those closest to the Box Saga, and Eeyore himself has passed this along, that when the Catholic Church ended up in Uudenmaa, Helsinki, and they were there to destroy everything. So the Bach family, knowing that they were on their way, left, and they had this whole plan to get all of their treasures and all their memorabilia and their memories and their history the fuck out of Dodge and buried in their temple, this Lemminkainen temple. where it remains buried till this day, you know, but they've been excavating it for about 20 years now, probably more. And from what I'm hearing, boots on the ground wise over there, it's like very possible that they might be finding something or not finding something this summer, or maybe by the end of this summer. So who knows? But yeah, this Lemminkainen character is a character that pops up in a number of different areas of Finland. And that's why this one man, I can't remember his name, but in the 1700s, he went around to all the different areas of Finland collecting all the folk stories. And he would put the common denominators together into this beautiful thing called the Väinämöinen mythology. And Lemminkainen being the center focus, this figure. And the Bok Saga has an entire story about this Lemminkainen and what it meant and all that. So it's very interesting how it directly connects right into their history. But it's also, from what I've also heard from people over there, that it's more taboo to talk about over there than it is over here. You know, that's it's crazy. Like, it's, and I've noticed that also in like pop culture, Scandinavian TV shows and things like that. The typical outlook of folklore over there is the same way as typical Americans look at it. I would just say that that's because most of them have been westernized in a way, you know, right, just so, by the so way of the world.
They're taught that it's like, oh, that's just a falsity. Yeah. That's just a story, you know, kids.
But just
story,
like us, you know, we involve so many rituals from back then without even knowing it, even if we're claiming not to believe in things, you know, we're not right. Christians, or we're not this, we're not that, but we carry on so many movements and daily things and words, so many things from these old traditions that root back in these religions and stuff. So
right, and we swear that they're nothing like, you know, these savage peoples of the past and all
the barbars, right? Yeah. Them barbarians,
man, it's wild. And so I mean, I just kind of like went on this weird little dive into Switzerland, because it struck me as very strange that it's in the center of everything, can get away with, you know, hoarding the Nazi money, you know, during World War II, still hasn't, you know, come about that. And it's like, so what's going on? Like, this is a weird neutral kind of place, you know, Swiss bank accounts, you open a Swiss bank account, you know, no tax. Right. So I mean, it's been for a very long time a tax haven and a place where the wealthy can get wealthier. And it's so strange. And so, you know, you start looking into something like this and it's like, where do you even begin? The first thing that I thought about when I thought Swiss and look at the Swiss flag, you have this white cross and a red background. So, you know, it kind of leans towards like Templar, right?
Right.
But what's also kind of interesting about those colors is that's a big portion of the color in the, you know, British flag and many flags over there. But in the British, you have the white and red, and, you know, there's symbolism behind this red or this white and different things. But so in looking at that Templar cross and then realizing, well, hey, in the Vatican, they have the Swiss Guard, you know, and it's a Swiss armed force. And it's very strange. You know, they dress very old world, very flamboyantly, maybe you can call it a Renaissance kind of appearance. And you know, these people supposedly are just like the best in hand-to-hand combat, right? But they defend this entire city, the Vatican, or this entire city state, right? Supposedly they're defending it. Who knows how old the agreement is that was made there. But anyway, so I'm looking at Swiss Guard, I'm looking at, all right, Templar Knights, all this other stuff. And you get into the Templar, and these people essentially kind of, you know, were the ones behind the Crusades, right?
Right.
To a certain extent, you know, these were the people supposedly defending the, like, the merchant class as they kind of moved funds and or goods, you know, in and out of the Holy Land, you know, wherever that was, if it was actually in the Middle East or not, you know, we'll never know.
I don't know, man. I think it's all coming out, but I could just,
I certainly hope so. And I definitely am hoping for that. It seems like piece by piece, we're kind of gaining some understanding as to what really happened, but like the overall gist of it, you know, for the last probably close to 500 years has been these pockets of war and like assertment. And, you know, each, what we now know as a country, kind of has its own history based on when it was last kind of taken over, you know, like that's when Italy becomes a state, or Spain, you know, it's only like three or four different like reigns ago, you know? And there's like always this weird association of players behind the scenes funding all this stuff, funding it, you know, protecting the merchants. And who were the merchant class? But these people were the bankers, you know, these people were the lenders, these people were, you know, the ones exploiting everybody else, basically. So you have a lot of this going on. And, you know, a lot of people will look at the Vatican, right? And they'll say, okay, you've got the Vatican as like the spiritual center of this Roman Empire, Holy Roman Empire. And then they will always refer to like London. You've got London as the financial center. And, you know, frankly, I kind of beg to differ on that one. In looking at Switzerland and seeing what's going on over there, the small interests of the Swiss that have their hands in everything around the world, all these different wars, you know, they're lending money to all these different sides.
And I was thinking about that too. Yeah, go ahead.
It's just so nuts. And it's like, all right, what's the dynamic? What am I missing here? And, you know, after looking at it, I'm going, well, all right, Templars, you know, we've got, and then I find a painting, an old painting of the Knights Templar playing chess. And so you've got the two Knights Templar, and there's two different colored columns on either side of this checkered chessboard, right? So I'm seeing a lot of this stuff and I'm going, wow. You know, one of the guys has one of his hands hidden in this painting. So it's like, it's got all the earmarks, you know what I mean? It's got all the things that'll draw a conspiracy theorist or a cult, you know, studying person's attention. So I'm okay. So, you know, behind the scenes, I'd imagine, you know, that we have these like secret, you know, organizations and groups of people kind of helping to pull the strings from, you know, a step further back. So, you know, you see like all this stuff, and a lot of people want to look at like, all right, the Queen of England is the evil lizard lady, right? Like, of course, she's the ruler. She's the hive mind queen. And it's like, man, I don't know. I think everything that we're seeing actually happen, you know, that we're allowed to see is all facade. It's all bogus, you know? But like, you start following the money. And that, like, that's what I kind of started doing, looking into these different rulers and these different kind of the duchy, you know, and all these different people, and how many times that has changed in the last 500 or 600 years, flipped over and been called a different type of government, but had like the cousin of the guy next door who's been running a dictatorship, you know? So a lot of the same stuff as we see today, like with Canada and, you know, mini Castro up there, and you know what I mean? So we see all this kind of weird stuff, and it's like, I just always was kind of curious, where did this financial kind of paradigm come from? Like, was it a really organic kind of thing, or did it just kind of pop up out of nowhere? And, you know, once you start hearing Bach Saga about how they spent some time underground and essentially like reemerged. And, you know, if I was stuck underground for an extended period of time and reemerged with my people, I'd be kind of hell bent on destruction too, right? Maybe that's where the term hell bent comes from. Maybe they were in hell and it turned into Helsinki. So
well, I would say when they, when they were let free, if you will, it was because of the ice melting or the ice moving. So it was mainly that they were just cut off from everybody else. They had those caverns, but I'll say this, when I was on some shows early on or talking with Dan early on, I think I got things a little misconstrued and thought they were always underground. But I think it's more that the imagery is that they were stuck within this place, this paradise, this original place, because, and the only reason why they weren't dead like the rest of the Northern Hemisphere during that ice age was because of the Gulf Stream and the volcanic activity that was in that region anyway, or something like
that
a combination of those two. So there is caverns, but not as I was thinking of it. And I also thought that that's where the blue eyes came from, because we see so many movies about people just losing their eyesight when being underground for so long. And I was associating it in a totally incorrect way, because the blue eyes, the blonde hair, the white skin, it comes from the climate that they were in. And like,
but yeah, that makes sense. And just the and kind
cut
of,
off in the north.
I guess if you were underground, like totally underground. Oh, see, here's where my thought on the underground thing was, like, okay, let's say for a while there's cataclysm, which we see evidence of it all around the world, right? Of a monumental kind of thing that happened.
Yeah.
So this may very well force people to live in a kind of semi-underground state, right? Learning to do things like cultivate for themselves. And, you know, if they were, maybe this is out on a limb, but if they were understanding thermal energy, if they were understanding, you know, different underground aquifers and a lot of things that are available in that kind of a region, you know, you have the geothermal heat maybe you could harness for electricity. And, you know, all of the technology we have didn't just come from aliens. It didn't come from nowhere. People need to understand that there's a vast history behind all of these things. And, you know, we're just not told all of it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist and just dropped out of nowhere from the sky. No, it means they've had these schematics and plans and been working on them for extended periods of time. And look at how many complex things are going on in your car. Right. You know what I mean? And you want to say that, okay, basically the history is just before Henry Ford is when the car was invented. Most people think that, you know, most people believe that. They don't know that there's 100 different components built into that car. Each one has, you know, a series of inventors and tinkerers, you know. And so my thought was, all right, if you're spending a significant amount of time essentially unable to go anywhere, you either go crazy, first of all, or you know, you gain insight on the things that you do have to do. And say you are underground tinkering and this kind of, you know, after looking into Lord of the Rings and stuff like this, I mean, I see parts of humanity in these archetypes of dwarves and kind of like we were talking about, you know, yesterday we got together and had that round table on Lord of the Rings. So you see these kind of archetypes of humanity in these characters.
Yes.
And, you know, basically, for lack of a better way to put it, white people are just as, you know, ingenious as Indian or anybody else. So you leave them alone for long enough. Give them something to do and the means to do it, i.e. maybe you could call it free energy if they're gaining it geothermally. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's anything that we kind of are understanding, it's that our technology, the technology of the ancients and things like this is kind of vastly understated. They're just now coming out and saying the pyramids are essentially power stations. Finally, over the last, you know, 20 years, people have been postulating this with pretty valid evidence, you know, going in, taking readings.
That and now they're validating it?
Well, validating it through their alternative channels like Gaia and things like this.
Okay,
so
fair
enough. Yeah. They put things behind a paywall so that people, you know, will essentially not believe it. And if they do, they've already paid for it. So, you know what I mean?
Right. But, it's a great way to put it out there, not lie, because they know they'll get caught in
it. Or the people, just the people that watch that are crazy, dude. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, of course. So, yeah, it's so easy.
You know,
it's
these so are Alex Jones type lovers, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So
I wonder why that is. I mean, this is a total sidetrack, but why is it that that's such a primal thing right there, that it's so easy to turn a world that is separated by a few thousand years into a total gag? You know, that's so fascinating that we can look at our ancient history and find out the real, what we, you know, what's really going on, finally putting all the pieces together slowly now, not even so slowly anymore. And the general public will still kind of looks at it like it's a gag. Like, I can talk to anyone in this community about this ancient tech on some level and everyone just, it's a normal, you know what I mean? But if that's the beginning of my thought, that's great because you guys are already there. But I can't, if I have some crazy thought and I want to tell my father about it or something, I can't start with, well, you know how the pyramids are, our power stations. He's going to be like, I'm done.
So, yeah, no doubt. I'm going to go watch Prometheus Entertainment. And
exactly.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You know? Yeah, but that's another way to manipulate, you know.
It is. And it's crazy, dude. I had a crazy weird tangent thought about that whole alien side of things too, but
good.
Yeah. You know what? We'll kind of chew into that right now. And then
please
we'll get into some you know, flag symbolism. Everybody loves a good,
yes,
you
know, I love the flag shit.
Evil symbolism within flags and what it right. all ties to and how it
but the alien back. Shit's important too, because that's what I always want to talk about. Box Saga,
dude. I love the alien thing, because I had an experience, you know, with UAPs or whatever. That was incredibly interesting.
I have as well.
I'm not sold that they're little gray men in the, you know, in these light orbs at all.
Dude, I had, so I can't remember who said it, but it was someone within the Twitter sphere of UFO UAP Twitter. And they said, like, the best thing to do is to, like, to look up, I'm paraphrasing, to look up and see something and say, I wonder how we could do that, rather than it must be from another planet. You know what I mean? And I'm not right. discrediting. I love the little green men and all that shit, but
absolutely. I love the physical.
I'm all for it. Always have
know, representation of something that we don't understand for sure. Absolutely. You have to, you know, humans have done this through the ages, right? Have
yeah,
personified
man.
Things they don't understand. Yes. Things as simple as the sun, right? It gets its own deity and its own personality and all of these other things. And you know, depending on what you see the sun outside going through, you might write a different story. So, you know, so I'm, you know, I'm with the astrotheology side of a lot of these ancient texts and these old, you know, scriptures. I'm with that. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize there's been people manipulating these canons for so long. And these are the same people that, as we'll kind of go into a little bit with the flag situation of Switzerland, is kind of strange. These are the same sun worshiping kind of, you know, priests of the temple, you know, kind of community that was essentially ruling what we now call Egypt, you know, leading with religion and with superior technology and things like this. And so these are the same people. And I found it very interesting to start looking into, like, the Swiss flags of the different areas. They're called cantons. Right.
Yes.
That's just a small sub region within, you know, Switzerland. So you have these cantons, and they all have different flags, which kind of suggests, you know, different families, maybe different crests. But one of them is a place called Graubünden, which means coming from the grays or bound by the grays. So you know, you start thinking, wow, aliens, right? And then, like, I got this crazy thought that was like, okay, well, aliens are probably, you know, beneath our feet in these underground bases. And then I'm thinking, like, well, dude, what if these people that spent all this time underground, they didn't ever come up, dude? What if they're just down there extending their under realm, you know, like through all these dumbs and all this other kind of network of tunnels and maglev trains and all this stuff that's like breakaway civilization. But like, what if this is the original civilization, or like, you know, parts of humanity kind of came up out of there, you know, out of wherever there was underground, higher in latitude, what have you, but kind of came out of there. And these people back then were just like today, we're working with these grays, or we're bound by them. Maybe they have given us technology long, long ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And we've already got it down. Like, we are like the weird stuff that we see going on. They just lay low down there, you know, and like people pitch tales about it. And, you know, maybe occasionally one of their grays kind of comes up and, you know, goes and flies around, even though he's not supposed to, get shot down. And so they're like, oh, that, you know, that Gary, I can't believe he went up there and got shot down fucking and exposed Gary. Us all. Fucking Gary, man. You know, so there's like that whole thing. You know, that's
plus Elon Musk, man. I mean, he's going to turn fucking tunnels into like highways and shit like that.
And I'm telling you, I've been telling people this for a year. Mars is going to be I'll tell you right now where these people are going to find themselves. A, underwater. Like in a you know, a habitat, right, in the ocean somewhere, or underground in a habitat somewhere with either no windows because, oh, we can't have glass windows because, you know, the differential in atmosphere or whatever the situation is, or these smart windows that the resolution is so good you swear you're looking outside at a dead desert planet. You know what I mean? But they're gonna just, you know, totally, you know, fill up their reserves of humanity. That's just to say that possibly this whole doom and gloom scenario that people have been on about for the last several hundred years that maybe only happened a few hundred years ago happens again, you know, relatively soon. And they know about this and are expanding their underground kind of situation. And now they're like, all right, it's about time. We got to get all these people ready to go to Mars again. Right. You know what I mean? Like, we got to convince them all. We got to get the Mars.
You know, I've been curious about that. I'm wondering if, like, just to play hypothetically with Flat Earth, because I don't necessarily buy Flat Earth or anything, but like, I like to play with these ideas. And I'd be more apt to say that maybe Mars and Inward weren't they weren't fake, like they were real objects possible. I don't know. It's not, that doesn't fit Flat Earth, of course.
Well, though. No, it was not even crazy close.
But I'm thinking like objects in our, so picture the Earth as a flat plane that stretches out, as flat earthers say, we have no idea because we were trapped in this ice wall and all that. And outside of that, maybe you can literally travel so far that those distant like an object like Mars is like close enough to,
right,
like,
it is like, and it's like right, it's another or something, right?
It's like another giant chunk of rock. Like the same way that flat earthers will say, you know, we're not necessarily against the idea of like asteroids and stuff, because who knows how big this dome possibly could be.
Right.
You
know what I mean? I'm honestly with all of it. The flat earth, not so much the spherical of a certain size earth, because, you know, that's a little bit kind of easy to debunk when they encode, you know, all the satanic symbolism and the mathematics and everything else. Well, so, I mean, that's a little bit rough.
Well, you know, it's, you know, also interesting there, dude, is that like we say satanic symbolism, quote unquote,
but
satanic
symbolism. It's just materialistic symbolism.
That word Satan is not even what we interpret it now.
Layman out there, you know, that see this stuff, it's satanic or Luciferian. And it's all the same to most people. It really is.
Absolutely.
So I tend to lump it in with, you know, the common understanding, unfortunately.
I totally get that. Doesn't make
it any better. But so you have that material coding in 666. And so it's just a representation of the physical, you know.
It is. Yes.
And that's all it is. And that's
the dense,
cool.
The low vibration.
Well, you know, this world is a certain vibration, this realm. I'm kind of the mind that it's a lot more complicated than flat around. I think shape is a stupid thing to even try to call reality, because it's like that immense and unbelievable, you know. Then you have like the double slit experiment.
Yeah, we're behind part of this too,
you know what I mean? Yeah, so if you're observing something, making it real at the same time, and you also are everything at the same time, like
that's a conundrum.
There's so much more to it that it's like you can't so simplify it to put it in a little monkey brain, you know what I mean? And that's exactly what we've done. We've personified every freaking force that we know. It all has a god, a person named after it, and a planet in the sky. You know, but you zoom in on these planets and they're just bright lights to your camera from that perspective.
The gas giants anyway.
But I'm kind of with the idea of this kind of I don't know, dome or whatever this layering situation that's happening apparently above us is, like, we can't shoot stuff straight up or it splashes. It does this weird thing when it hits nukes, whatever up there, whether it's space or not, but like does this weird thing. We were trying to blow it up in the 50s, you know. Right. So it's like, what were we doing up there just for fun, blowing up the atmosphere? Like, that doesn't seem like, unless you're trying to get something done, you know, like say you're the cabal trying to bring on another flood. Would you try to knock down this thing that's up there? Who knows what they were doing? You know, it's been all bad for so many hundreds of years. And part of it is based on situations like have happened in Switzerland, dude. And like how these people have come together in one place to kind of build up the clout of this area, you know, and build up people's patience and tolerance with their shady dealings and stuff. Like, dude, they've been at work on this for better part of probably 700 or 800 years. You know, so this is like a slow go. All these small revolutions, wars around the world. You know, a lot of people attribute Napoleon to being kind of this bad character, you know, that was going and kind of decimating things. But then there are some that believe that Napoleon was the one trying to root all these people out. But then a couple of them ended up, you know, these bankers, this merchant class, these
Swiss and Swedish. They got to know him. They got buddy-buddy with him. And, you know, somewhere along the line, like the French kind of revolution kind of turns around and starts doing something different based on our history. Everything shifts in a really weird way that screams manipulation. You know what I mean? When you start seeing things trend to the right and then it just takes a beeline back the other way, or, you know, a king steps in that supposedly has this best interest in mind, all the while, you know, his cohorts are of the old group, you know? Right. So there's a lot of this kind of juggling around of names, of people, of situations. And what you wind up with is, you know, the Switzerland of today with all of these flags, these different areas and different flags. And essentially the old Swiss setup was the old Swiss Confederacy. You know, that language is interesting, you know, first of all, but this was formed in the 14th century. It enjoyed imperial immediacy in the Holy Roman Empire. What exactly that means, I have not looked into. It's pretty interesting. Apparently it's a privileged constitutional and political status rooted in German feudal law, under which imperial estates of the Holy Roman Empire, such as imperial cities, prince bishoprics, and secular principalities, and individuals such as imperial knights, were declared essentially free from, you know, the issues, whatever the church was pushing, you know, the taxes and things like this. So they were, you know, allowed to kind of carry on without any tax from the church. This is why, you know, when you look at the Swiss flag and you see that Templar cross, why would the church, you know, harm these guys? They're the ones that rallied up everybody to go around the world and loot and pillage and, you know, destroy whatever this old world was. And, you know, a lot of people right now are thinking the old world was like decimated in one fell swoop in the 1800s. And no, that definitely was not the case. This has been going on since back, you know, before, you know, a lot of these places were even countries, back before the Swiss were the Swiss, back before they were even this old Swiss Confederacy. You know, this Confederacy is a product of these people, and you look at the names behind this. The Confederation of Eight Cantons was politically and militarily successful for more than a century, culminating in the Burgundy Wars of the 1470s. And there's this, in this environment, you have France, you have the Habsburgs, you look at the Habsburg flag, it's the double-headed eagle, right? So that's interesting. You know, you have France, the fleur-de-lis, you know, which has its own symbolism. A little after that, we have the Swabian War, which is interesting. You know, you go down to Antarctica, we have New Swabenland down there. And so this is all the same people, man. Like these are, you know, all the same people flexing their muscles. And, you know, it's mostly outlined in history that a lot of these places are kind of at odds with this Holy Roman Empire. But I definitely, you know, don't think that that was the case. I don't think they were at odds with this Holy Roman Empire at all. But like you start looking into where did the Holy Roman Empire come from?
Yeah.
And
that's very curious.
Yeah. And that was that's a whole nother rabbit hole for another day, because it's crazy. I mean, but like Switzerland and the relationship with Germany and Sweden and all of these, you know, areas up in Finland, in this northern area that, you know, if you look at the Bach saga as maybe a piece of it, you're going, well, what if these people were kind of segregated for a little bit, right? And, you know, and then, yeah, you know, suddenly they have a path out, or they create their own path, you know what I mean, out, and maybe cause something to happen. Or, you know, that's the thinking of a theorist, you know, is to theorize, right? So we theorize. And we go, well, what if something happened? Or what if they created a technology and their solace over there? You know, and
well, I do think that's a part of it. I mean, down the road, because Atlantis falls, no matter what story you hear, no matter what account we unearth.
Well, man, and just like kind of oddly jumping back to the Swiss when we bring up Atlantis, it's crazy. In Atlantis, you have the beginnings of what later supposedly became the Egyptian Empire, or, you know, the land of Kemet, the Black Land, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, has, there's a lot of rabbit holes you can go down with that.
Right. Saga as well. Because Saga, I've heard it claimed that Kemd actually can be traced back to meaning Bok, which meant goat.
Wow. And so I knew there was a reason why I was getting into this, man. And
think about this real quick, that the connotation of it meaning the black land has been at least used. It may not be correct or entirely correct, but it's been used by people trying to reclaim the blackness of the old kings, the old lineage of Egypt. Rightfully so. They were definitely dark people. And it was robbed of them by white colonists. But unfortunately, there's this other interpretation that might lead back to the goat, which leads to the box, which leads to a bunch of white people.
Right. Right.
So it's like a dividing conquer.
It's wild, dude. Definitely. It's the polarity of this realm. I mean, it's so incredibly masterful, you know, for a long time. And a lot of people are still very kind of upset about the duality of this world and the polarity of it. But you really have to, like, deep down and ask yourself, if it was any other way, you really think you'd be having any fun? You know, you really think that you'd have a whole lot to dwell on, think about, ponder in the middle of the night, never be bored a moment. You know, a lot of these things that I find beautiful about life didn't always, you know, I'm not going to lie. I didn't always, you know, find a lot of this stuff appealing to my mind hole, but I do now. And, you know, it seems to me that a lot of this kind of chaos is put here for us to grow. You know, whether we want to or not at the moment is a different story. But so going back to that phrase Bok, or that's the term Bok, and the Kemet, meaning, you know, the black, but it can also be associated with, you know, the Bok, which is a male goat.
Right.
And you go back to Switzerland, you start looking at these cantons and their flags. One of them, let me see if I can remember. Well, I can't pull it up right now. I don't remember what the
for those listening, we apologize.
For those listening, we've got
a great visual.
This
episode,
is, so. I mean, look up Swiss canton flags, and you will see a flag that has, of course, you know, talking about a Bok. We have a Bok on this flag. You know, mouth open, tongue hanging out, wang hanging out, everything, like, fully with the male gusto, right? Like, just putting it out there, pow.
Very Aries.
So yes, you have this Aries aspect. You also have this Bok type of aspect. So that's interesting in itself. Man, you start going, how do I get rid of this thing? Hold on a second. I got to move this. I'm not a very avid screen share, folks. Sorry,
I'm not either.
That.
I'm terrible with it. I don't know what to do. That's
okay,
why I've gone horns
canton,
up.
This is the canton of Graubünden, the one I was talking about earlier, that's bound by grays. So that's kind of wild, dude. You know, tie that to the Bok saga, history of being isolated and or underground. Very interesting. And then you go into some more of these flags of this area. Another thing that we wind up with is the ram's horn on a shield being carried by a basilisk, which, you know, is some people might say demonic or evil, right? But I see this as related to this serpent that we see, you know, coined all around the world, right? Supposedly, even in South America, this feathered serpent, this plumed, you know, serpent man comes and teaches them all of these things, this light complected god figure. You know, Quetzalcoatl, right, was supposedly this kind of serpent god, this feathered serpent. So you have like this symbolism like everywhere, and then you also have the constellation of Draco,
right?
So you have all of these kind of like very fractal woven in layers of everything, and you can almost look anywhere in the world, look at their flags, like pick a small, you know, grouping, go to Google Earth, plot a circle with your eyes and just go right there, search up the flags in that area. You're going to find a lot of the same thing and over again, the same symbolism.
And it's alchemy too. You know, this serpent, it's always bird and snake, you know, Yeah, this basilisk is a great example of that.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. It's always the, you know, at least at one time in the past, the bird and the snake were combined, right?
Right.
And you come like into, you know, current time, based on the symbolism in like some of the newer countries' flags, you have this kind of a deviation, this split. You know, the dragon is separate from the eagle, and you know, the serpent's at war with the hawk, right? And the Mexican flag. So, yes. So I mean, they show us all the same symbols. They kind of infer different things going on, but you know, in reality, I do feel it's part of just one mass kind of over thing.
it's so crazy,
dude. I don't even know. I can't pretend to like, you know, be hella informed on any of this because it's so confusing the way
this is just the beginning, man. Like we gotta dredge up all the different examples and keep what sticks and throw out what doesn't fit. You know, it's a process.
It's wild. And you know, some will have you know, the dog, like one of them's you know, a dog, a wolf on a shield, right? Mm-hmm. Another one is a bear. Another one still is like, so we have all these different constellations that are pretty much visible from the north, you know, for the most part. Right. We've got those on all, a lot of these flags. So we have this as above, so below, very similar to, you know, kind of Egyptian thing going on, you know, where they had different gods or different figures representing different constellations, different places set up like different whatever you call it, constellations, compilations, all the same shit. So anyway, you've got another one, and this one caught my eye because you know, I've been looking into this mud flood event and you know, what could have caused it and so on and so forth. And one of the theories is the fasces is a symbol, a bundle of rods wrapped around an axe. And there's a theory that this is a symbol for a weapon that these people lord over us and, you know, is causing these crazy events. Could it be harp? Possibly, right? Like, you know, you start looking into what's capable.
This looks like divide and conquer. It's a shield and an axe.
Oh, no, this is a bundle of rods tied to an axe. So it's interesting, the symbolism behind the fasces. It's like all together we're, you know, unbreakable.
Okay.
But I think that, you know, in certain circles there's a more sinister kind of feel to this because it looks like a Gauss rifle or, you know, like an electromagnetic weapon of some kind. Oh. And like that they're inferring that they're the holders of this kind of this power, you know. So that's a whole nother kind of crazy rabbit hole. But like these flags, dude, and you start looking and you see all the different you know, celestial kind of symbolism, and that just reminds me a lot of Egypt and what we're told about, you know, like the man, just the past, even before that, going back to Atlantis. These were like master astronomers or astrologers and astronomers, right? Like these were the supposedly, you know, the one community that basically everything broke out of after this massive cataclysm and kind of spread out all over the place. And, you know, that may very well be true, that there was a kind of massive civilization at one point and has since, you know, fell to ruins and or reestablished itself as all of these other places, like all of these other places. But another interesting kind of weird tie is one of the mottos for one of these areas in Switzerland is post tenebra lux, which means after darkness, I hope for light. And, you know, I kept thinking maybe, you know, as an error, I've been thinking underground, right? You know, so these phrases are making sense in that kind of context. And so I'm just kind of like,
damn,
like wrapping my head around all this stuff and seeing the same symbolism that we see in, you know, flags all the way to this day. And, you know, people swear that there's like this kind of war going on between these different factions, you know, between the Luciferians and the Satanists and between the, you know, Rothschilds and like, you know, the Russians and, mm-hmm. you know, but then like behind all of that stuff, you have, you know, even behind the Bilderberg group, like way behind and things we don't even comprehend or see, there is still an element of control that like we're not grasping, that's kind of, you know, dictating what everyone's next move is. Because I don't know, maybe I have little faith in humanity, but I don't see I don't see the orchestration happening between these people, you know, at least that we're shown. So
yeah, I think they're the puppets, so we just see the behavior of puppets. That's all we see ever. And we look at it as consequences, and I would say it's like the further in you go, the less control is in humanity's hands. And I'm not saying that means aliens or reptilians. I think it means natural flow of things. And that's just my theory right now. It's just a working idea, but that, well,
and even
it's kind of
it
like that idea.
If it is other humans, right? If it's other humans, then, you know, clearly these are humans with a vastly superior cognitive ability to, and possibly lifespan to be able to play this stuff out, either that or extreme patience, you know, mm-hmm. to play this stuff out over, in most cases, a small assertment like we have done in Iraq takes 30 to 40 years. That's half of somebody's life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they've done this over and over and over again everywhere.
So that's where I was going with that. I was thinking I'm not saying that people aren't, you know, controllers per se, but it's almost as if because they're aware of the way things are and the way things go, they could take advantage of that and they can play their hands better. And they do keep all that secret. But
it shows a broader perspective, whether it's collectively or not, you know what I mean? And that's kind of like the crazy debate that comes up in our community is like, okay, is it like overlord playing puppet strings, or is it just the knowledge that's allowing, you know what I mean, this kind of shifting to happen over like generations, right? All of history to be essentially erased and rewritten within like a few hundred years. Like that takes patience and planning.
Yes.
And like conveying that to the next person down the line effectively, when most of us don't work well together. You know, most of us are so busy fighting each other and at odds and everything that we don't even notice this crazy neutral state over, you know what I mean, in the Alps that has just cashed in on everything for the last like 500 years, you know, their Templar stronghold, right? Blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, in the money nonstop, and like not once has anybody of relevance thought to go, well, hey, what's up with those guys? What's going on over there? And if you do, what probably happens if you're powerful enough and you do kind of say, hey, man, no, I'm going to blow the whistle on you, they just buy you out. They've got everything. You know what I mean? Like you could buy anybody. You could buy me out. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. And, you know what I mean?
And
the price is really right. You know,
it's so weird too, that like, it's like you can point your finger at these, like you were saying, like you can point your finger to these faces, these puppets, and there's always, you know, more layers behind, you know, more curtains behind the curtains. Right. And it's like, I guess where I'm going with the idea of like natural forces is like, you know, on our level of things, all these humans are doing these nefarious things. And for us with the eyes to see, we can kind of see this pattern everywhere. Yet the closer we get to it, whether it's just media blocking it, or, you know, it turns out to not be the Rothschilds necessary or whatever. It's like,
right.
We can never necessarily point to what it really is. But then if you get the chance to like zoom out in some crazy experience or something, you kind of see that whether it's actually on an individual basis, a family basis, a legacy basis, all the time, or if it somehow, if you get close to it and it just turns out to be random sometimes, and it's way out there, when you expand out, suddenly it paints that picture. It paints a picture with a personality, with that human behavior controlling everything. Yes. And it's like, well, how the fuck is this happening when it's not happening?
That's why people need the idea of manipulation by literal physical outside sources.
Right.
People need this because they're not, and it's unfortunate because they're just not able to step back and also, I mean, you know, look into themselves and recognize these patterns they're seeing outside of themselves. Absolutely. As things that have happened to them in a different fashion. You know, that's something that I really like, dude. I love about this community is that A, everyone's open-minded, and B, people have a sense of perspective that is generally a little panned back. You know what I mean? Yeah. All right, how does this work with that? We all have spent so much time growing up being drilled about the specifics. 1 + 1 = 2. Princess Diana died in a car crash in a tunnel on an accident, right? Like, oh, we're right. Drilled all this stuff, and we know all of this stuff. And like, unless you take a moment to just throw everything out the window and kind of start over and go, well, or just shatter everything on the floor and start picking out the pieces that make sense to you based on your, you know, reactions in the past, based on your honest self-reflections, right? Like, because we've all been a little Rothschildy at a moment. You know, we've all been a little bit, you know, Fidel Castro at some time. Like, I don't even know what the man was like. I'm just saying we've all been that. We've all been all these characters. Dude, I've been a little Sleepy Joe, you know, at the wheel sometimes, right? Like, let's be honest.
The conspiracy theorists. I've been a little
Hunter Biden even. Why yeah. not? Maybe not to the extent that guy pushed it. But, no. But you know what yeah. I mean. We've all got these fractal archetypes. Essences of these different folks. And then, like, on a much grander scale, these archetypes kind of flow together into these, like, secret societies and things, right? And they all get together and they're like, nope, listen, we're such and such archetype, lodge number, you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. And they all get together. And they're like, all right, you know, what's the doom agenda today, guys? You know what I mean? Oh, just, you know, rituals and sex magic. Okay, sounds like fun, you know, because they're all like mind. So, I mean, this just happens.
Right.
You know, the people that are into space will call it gravity, but it's, you know, the human experience is almost the opposite of magnetic. You know what I mean? It doesn't ever make as much sense as just polarity and magnetic. You have opposites attracting and bouncing off of each other also. And like, there's all this crazy chaotic conflict, and I have yet to really dig into like chaos theory and all of that stuff. But you know, I'm sure there's something to it, you know, like when you walk into a situation and you know it's going to be a bad situation, but you're like, meh, and you just go along with it anyway. Or you, or the other way, you go into a situation, it's going to be great for you, but you're like, nope, not going to do it, you know. And it's like, so is that like an element of chaos within ourselves that's just spicing it up? Or like, is it like some people think, oh, you have a demonic thought, right? Or,
oh, right.
Or you have, you know, a monkey on your back, or whatever the term is for this like outside influence, you know, or you're channeling dark beings, or, you know, any of these other things. But like, really, is it really all just us? Like, you know, like, yeah, individually, man. Like it's mind blowing. So this went a little different direction than I had anticipated. But it's all so strange when you just open your eyes and kind of like go, what?
Yeah, I kind of figured we didn't have a chance to like just shoot the shit and zone out before. So like,
no, we'll do it now.
This was awesome. Bound to happen. Where we were going to start on Switzerland, we end up with aliens and all kinds of other things. Well, you
and,
know,
and it, this like, was great. This is what we got to work with what we got, people, and we're just working with what we've got. What's going on in the ether right now? I was talking to Flat Earth Dave earlier today, and he put it really well. He said, you know, they have us, these people in control have us priming the ether for them. You know, with this predictive programming and things like that. And yeah, I think that that's an amazing way to put it. And, you know, the ether has been thoroughly primed on this alien front, apparently, because it's got all of us talking about it. So you can't blame it on us, folks. It's just,
I mean, I've been talking about it since primed. I was like 12, but
oh, dude, still. Yeah, since X-Files and all that other stuff. And
damn, I want to believe, yeah, but I don't really anymore. Not in that way. I don't know.
Yeah, after I found out about, you know, deep underground military bases and all the genetic testing and freaks and all this crazy stuff and sex traffic and all this stuff, I'm like, nope, aliens don't exist. I'm good, dude. you guys can have that crap, because, you know, because essentially you're just pouring in your energy into the idea of it, dude. So, and if everything, like, off on this crazy everything is you tangent, if it's the one mind and everything is you, just by thinking about it, just by lending it credence, boom, it exists.
Yeah, it's a good
so
way to
like
put it.
So like, dude, are we creating, you know, like, with all this news and, you know, the laptop's real or it's not, are we just creating these people's situations out of our own thoughts and memories? And then poof, instantly, like magic, because, you know, a creator had to have, you know, dictated the rules of this whole thing. It happens. You know what I mean? Like, and
well, also like, you know, the alien thing, you know, I don't know.
It's a rough one, dude. Aliens and angels. It's pretty touchy and it's crazy because you have like these two polarized camps, you know, like, no, they're angels. You know, no, they're aliens.
Like, yeah.
Like, and then well, other people are like, nope, just people.
We've just been so disconnected from ourselves, and that's the main goal that they quote unquote always are pushing, because that's when you start to pay attention to yourself and all that, you know, you are, if we do that, the further down you go, like you find all these ancient concepts of the sacred other, this, and even the idea of the yin yang standing for a fish chasing its own tail. Some of these tales are so old and they blend right into UFO community, honestly. And I just wonder how much, like, again, we go back, you and I both say that, like, if we're everything, then okay, well, that's all more of us on some level, at least. We have to at least start there. But then also, like, on the physical level, I think it's good to start with, again, how could humans do that? And then if that can be answered, then that doesn't mean the book closes, right? But that just means that might as well work with the model that we have and the scale that we can prove, or at least come close to proving. The idea about the reptilians and everything, like the real physical actual draconian reptilian. And I'm not trying to like disrespect anyone with experiences,
you know, but yeah, no doubt, dude. But like the symbolism in the flags and everything in the writing, renditions of the dragon and the serpent, and throughout time that we can see anyway, throughout time and history and scripture and all this stuff, and then to call it like lizard people, that's like re-personifying a concept that was maybe derived from a group of persons. It's so weird, dude, how this splitting and recombining of situations and tales and all this stuff happens. I don't know if I can say yes, like actual physical lizard people.
Well, I've heard people say, like, well, listen, even if it's symbolism and it's associated with certain human qualities, that doesn't mean that they didn't learn it from something else or give that symbolism to those people because of an alien or this or that. I'm like, well, that's fine, but when you trace back the reptilian symbolism, the dragon and all this, yeah, they did see it and they got it from something. It's the snake. Just the very act of it wilting its skin is like such a central part of the metaphor of what the serpent stands for. It stands for that change and that evolution and that progression and that cycle as well.
Definitely.
And then it becomes personified big time,
and then it gets attributed to materialism and everything else, and then you have this kind of this eagle situation that's kind of like this lofty, you know, kind of opposite the serpent, more airy, right? And there's within all of the flags of the world, there's a lot of elemental kind of alchemy in there too, you know, where like black might stand for earth and white might stand for sky, you know, and so on. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You can look into this stuff. It's everywhere. You have dual symbolism, like a silver key and a gold key in many houses in Europe and also in Germany, especially in Germany, if I'm not mistaken. And this represents the key to the material key, you know, and the spiritual key. Mm-hmm. So, it's all just like a throwback into these same concepts that we all struggle with every day, like within ourselves, this polarity, this duality, decision A versus decision B. So it's like, all right, if this is encoded well enough to put into a crest or, you know, a flag and have obviously tons of thought go into this and have it make sense on so many different levels, that just screams to the length of time, whatever has been going on here. You know what I mean? With humanity, whether there was larger people in the past or not, they're still there. Some would say, oh, if they still exist, they must be pulling the strings. I don't think that that's necessarily the case, but no. Look around you at what your fellow men has done to each other, right? Like right. This is the probably the biggest thing that leads me to believe, okay, if there's big people pulling the strings, right, then there's probably bigger people, you know, than them pulling there. You know what I mean? I think that if it's fractal in one layer, it has to be an infinite fractal layer, right? So if there are larger people pulling our strings, then there's going to be bigger ones than them. Maybe the ones that are bigger than the ones pulling our strings are lizards. We don't know. You know what I mean? So it gets so crazy. Like when you're actually like, well, I'll consider anything, you know, maybe it's an addiction of mine now, since I've ditched all the rest, considering thoughts.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. Well,
you know,
that's a good thing
for a minute. Yeah, for sure.
I got a weird theory too, that, the thing that is in control, and has been this whole time is our trauma. And I and this is just, again, this is just the physical material interpretation I have, is that we were rocked by something at some point. Something caused an absolute cataclysm. Randall Carlson talks about that as well, about how Halloween is remembered all around the world, that time period at least, as this day of remembrance. And he kind of suggests that it's because we were just, unbeknownst to each other, all acknowledging this time when we lost fucking everybody. And if you can imagine the trauma that happens to a single individual from an abusive relationship, and then take that fractal and send it outward to what would happen to a people if destruction occurred, and all the generational trauma and bad behavior, the narcissism, the psychopathy, the mental illness, all of it that would pass down and embed itself into our humanity. Now, I'm not saying we can't go into more fractal, more spiritual or higher order meaning to it, because that's always there. Like we said, even if it looks like an accident up close, you step outside, there's fucking order to everything. It's unbelievable. But it's just on a physical material level, it seems to it's manifesting as this trauma. And of course, these horrible egos can come out of that. And so both can be true. It can be this natural thing that occurred to us, but then it gave birth to these horrible people that had right. these mentalities that have stuck with us, embedded in humanity, embedded in the goodness of humanity.
I'm with that, dude. And isn't that, you know, in a situation of absolute chaos and calamity, you know, look at it realistically, the nice guy won't last. The nice guy will nice not be able to last, survive. Right? He's not going to be able to survive in a post-apocalyptic freaking wasteland, crazy world. Murder and, you know, greed are key in survival, right? So if that makes a lot of sense as to why possibly there is a faction of humanity that's kind of like that. But then also, like, you have the Hopi talking about the ant people coming up and saving them, right? So maybe there are others, you know, during that cataclysm that found their way to make their own communities work with kindness and with love. And maybe this is how love and kindness carried on. And then, you know, when something else unfolded and everything gets back to a weird new normal, right? Like they all go upstairs and they're like, come out and, holy shit, that's what we've been dealing with for the past couple thousand to 12,000 years, is this freaking war between these two very different but very similar factions of humanity, some tainted by hate and you know, bloodlust, and then the others, you know, all about giving, you know, giving knowledge, giving love, giving respect and hope. So like, yeah, something seems to have happened. There seems to have been this just, and it's weird, this dualistic kind of conflict. And that's why I think that I dug into Switzerland. I'm like, what is going on here? There's such a duality to everything. Yes. There's no neutrality. Like, what is this? You know, and rightfully so, it's definitely suspect. You start looking at Knights Templar. Okay, these were the bankers, you know, of the Crusades who kind of helped push this whole crazy war along, and supposedly were not part of like the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church. Right. They were kind of doing it on their own. I don't know about that. Especially when like now the Swiss Guard, you know, defends the Vatican.
Yeah.
And it's like, bullshit. Come on. So like all of that's just like, all right. So So these are those people, right? Like these are those underground people that, you know, during the last cataclysm, they're underground.
We're changing it right now, guys. Just listeners, watch, viewers, listen, Randy and I are going to change the dynamic where you're not going to see the memes anymore with the three. You're going to see the four. Okay. instead of finance being London, it'll be Switzerland, and we'll put the city of London under the mentality of the family, because I think that's what's missing in that dynamic, to show that this is a family situation going on at its very fucking roots. So you have the system itself, the three big areas of power, but who's it for? So I think it should be that four.
Yeah, dynamic. But they can't do that because they can't adopt ancient, spiritual meaning, like out of a triangle, you know, you can't get the 3, 6, 9 out of a square.
I know.
They already have a square they worship. They can't, you know,
right?
They can't
bastardize
the cube. No, we can't cut the cube down. Come on, guys. But, hey, that's blasphemy.
You know what else is interesting? Just taking it back to the ant people. I've been having this theory lately about with me getting into phonetics and root language and everything like that. Ant, I wonder if it ever was referring to people from the south, like the southern hemisphere, maybe. Because you think about it, our ice age mostly destroyed the northern hemisphere and affected the northern hemisphere, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's what geologists say. Yeah, that's what we're told for sure.
Right.
But
so
there's not a whole heck of a lot of land in the south, though. Like when you really look into it, you have some parts of Australia, but there's
Antarctica may have been a completely different climate at the time, if we're going with the globe. I know I have to preface and put an asterisk.
No, you know, even if we're not, if something was happening to cause an extreme freeze on one side, who knows? There's evidence of possibly a perturbed kind of sun rotation, you know, in the flat Earth model, you know, it being essentially a piece of electronics of it kind of getting jostled. And that's why our year is different than it had been previous to a certain point, so on and so forth. There's all kinds of crazy, you know, stuff when you open your mind. There's so many wild rabbit holes to go down. But yeah, dude, I like that. Adding that family element to this control situation that we see, that's huge, man. That's what's left out, because look,
that's what they're famous for in the news too. Like we only see the royal, we don't see them making decisions. We just hear about their family affairs all the time.
Yeah,
that is literally our symbol for the family in this
world. And meanwhile, everybody ignores Switzerland, where all the dirty money goes through, dude. Like, all
they don't want anyone following the money.
Right, but they're like, hey, you know, if you made anything on crypto this year, you better file your taxes. You know what I mean? But yeah, don't mind Switzerland, you know?
Right, yeah,
Don't mind them over there. They're doing
crypto's
God's
work. Crypto's a honeypot of its own.
Yeah, they're doing God's work over there.
yeah.
So it's just, dude, it's crazy. I love the idea of there being I don't love the idea of there being a cataclysm in the past. That sucks. But it definitely seems to be the case, you know,
especially in this cyclical place that we're in.
Well, and from tales and from, you know, even what we consider valid descriptions like the Bible, or shit, most origin stories talk about this flood, you know, that has happened. If that flood happened recently enough to wipe out the previous eras, you know, information and everything, then all we're going to have is the tale of that one. You know what I mean? So if it had happened in a time, you know, past even further than that, I think that a flood and some sort of fiery cataclysm have both happened. Just because you have this comet situation in like the 1500s, late 1400s, something like that, somewhere around the year, you know, of Columbus and all that fun stuff where all of our stuff starts up. There's this kind of space where nothing really going on, and it's weird because like all these regions in this area of Switzerland and Germany, like these didn't start coming about and establishing like a history until like the 1400s. We have fragmented histories of these places like going back several hundred years at a time. Like before 1400, you got to go back to 1000 to find, you know what I mean, a documented record on any of this area, you know, or you got to go back to like 686 you know, AD. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then they're like, oh yeah, 239 BC. And you're like, oh, okay, fucking 700 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, why is all this history missing?
What's going on here? Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely like massive periods of time where, dude, if you're dealing with, say you're just dealing with 300 or 400 years of like post-cataclysm chaos, right? And let's just say, you know, that maybe the cover up for that, we'll just call it the Black Death, tell people there was a plague. We don't want anybody to have any, you know, genetic memories about this celestial thing that happened and freaking just burned the world. We don't want that, you know, like let's try to lead people away from that. And then we'll, you know what? And then we'll come out with a cartoon called The Land Before Time, and there'll be this fiery apocalypse, and you know, we'll sell it to these people and they'll want it and they'll love us for it. Like, it's so sick and twisted that you have to have spent time underground to comprehend this process of manipulation that's been like expertly, you know, like honed against us all.
And then we're back out of the human experience. You know, I flow in and out because I would say out of time. Even it doesn't make any sense for them to be able
in here,
to,
yeah, in here,
unless it's also a natural part of it or something, you know. It's again, it's maybe people just taking advantage of a situation that's already happening naturally, perhaps, you know what I mean,
right? But, the most human level, for sure, you know, absolutely, at that most human, you know, day-to-day level, absolutely. I mean, we're all, and you know, once you kind of are honest with yourself about the capabilities of the human ego and the human wants and will. And all of these things, these different factors, right? You know, anybody out there, you're being holier than thou if you say there's not a situation that you wouldn't engage in, because given a circumstance, everybody would do everything. That's what the process of experience kind of shows us, and why you can see kind of the purpose. When people say, what's the meaning of life? I look at it as though to experience, right? To be. Right. Like, I think, therefore I am, and I am, therefore, you know, I be. So
I
am, like,
therefore I think.
Right. So, and so, you know, going down that, you're having an experience, and I'm recognizing that you over there, Andy, are having your own experience. Right. And like, we've been divided so much that we don't stop to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. And I think that this is a lot stronger of a type of connection than we're allowed to understand. You know, sometimes when I think about what somebody else might be going through, if I actually am, you know, passionate about considering what's going on with this person, my mind will show me a scenario that involves being that person. Yes. And involves possibly some trauma in my past that this person may be trying to overcome. And, empathy, you know, man. it's so much deeper than this face value garbage that we're all being. You know what I mean? Blanketed. Yes. and just bare, you know, barraged with. It's just madness. And absolutely. Like, once you dig into, and it doesn't matter what direction you look, Andy, I swear, if you look for information in one direction, you will find it.
And that's,
it doesn't matter. I mean, if I look right now for proofs of a spherical earth, I will find it.
Yes.
If I look for proof right now of proofs of flat earth, I will find it. If Bingo. I look right now for proofs of we're in inner earth, I'll find that. Or we're on Mars, I'm going to find that, because that's my intent, you know, manifesting this in front of me. Yes, I'm using vehicles to manifest, like a computer, and typing it into Google. But essentially, I'm controlling what I'm looking for. So whether I want to admit it to myself or not, I'm, you know, you're choosing your own adventure. You know what I mean? And like, so you, when you pan back, kind of like we're saying, you pan back out of time, like, what is the like accumulation of all of those very small choices? And then you kind of start to see it like a risk board, like a very high speed risk situation where it's like, okay, this person's taking over this person's integrity, and this person's taking over this person's, you know, capacity to love. They're stealing that from them. So there's all these very small energy interactions going on from person to person. But then like on the big grander scale, you have, well, you know, Russia invaded Ukraine to, you know, have this other stuff going on. That's just like a crazy fractal mirror, an upsize of a conflict between this lady and her brother in her living room that morning. Right. You know what I mean? So
it all starts here, man. It all starts within, you know, and that's again, the generational trauma, man. I think my take on the resets that we say, like, it seems like there's been a bunch of different resets. I feel like we keep almost figuring out this original situation that we were all in. I think no matter how many resets they try to do, that's just my take that.
Right. Like it just
we're
reaches
still
that
getting
plateau
pieces of that first world. And maybe throughout every single world that's been, we're getting a lot of pieces mixed together and we're not, and we're finally trying to divide out when this one ended, when this one ended, you know,
right.
It's
yeah,
amazing.
No doubt.
You know,
and we all secretly have this kind of underlying knowing about certain things. Mm-hmm. Almost anybody you ask that's delved into this old world topic, I don't like to call it Tartaria because it's just not, that's not, you know, accurate, but this old world topic, dude, like most of us swear, like I feel so comfortable and familiar looking at this imagery and seeing these places, and like a familiarity, a weird vague sense of familiarity, right? Like, and this kind of calls into question reincarnation and genetic memory, you know, and things like this. After seeing Hollywood put it out there in Assassin's Creed, I was like, there's genetic memory. They fucking told us there's genetic memory right there, right? As soon as they decided that game could become a movie, they're telling something, right? You know, and
yeah,
then you
I
see
definitely...
Infinite comes out and it's about this guy or these people that remember all their past lives. And it's like a fucking curse to this one guy who's a nihilist. And, you know, on the other side, you have the believers. They don't ever say what they believe in, but they've had like countless past lives and they remember them all. And they kind of steer the direction of what people are doing on Earth. Maybe, you know, it's just as valid of an explanation as anything I've got. So I was like, that's pretty interesting. Maybe there's something going on like that, but maybe it's more, you know, not so clear and a little more fractal, and each of us has a small piece of what we're remembering, and unless we work together to hash it out and have the conversation and, you know, not feel like, you know, like society would want us to feel and feel like we're being stupid about saying this or that, or, you know, me bringing up my theories and weird thoughts on Switzerland to you, like,
right,
you know, most people would feel like, oh, that's just, you know, that's just a waste of my time. That person
right,
doesn't want to hear that. You know, I'm worthless. And a lot of that attitude, it's crazy, goes along with, you know, as Flat Earth Dave would say, the heliocentric nonsense, you know, of like, I'm alone in the universe. Nobody can understand me. You know, I'm flying out of control. So, you know, like in a very fractal sense, the thought of flying out of control in space on a planet is the bigger version of what each of us maybe would feel on the inside if we didn't know the truth. And most of us don't know the truth, you know, and most of us are comfortable not looking for it because we see the easy, you know, the bag of Frito-Lays and the Disney Channel. And we're like, cool. You know what I mean? But like, hopefully at some point, you know, people kind of start to come around, and I think they are. I mean, I did. So, you know, I've actually got faith in humanity for once, because dude, if I can kind of you know, free up some thoughts and pull some information kind of out of wherever I'm looking and put together pieces and have an enjoyable time doing it and start to realize that, hey, maybe this is like the purpose. And like you're saying about the, you know, the reset about them possibly happening, like when society kind of as a collective reaches a certain point, it's like, well, we've wrapped up this one, guys, you know, story's over. Maybe there is some kind of a, you know, massive exodus or rapture or something, or maybe it's just, you know, lights out, everybody's done. Like, we took this one until literally everybody has figured out that it's a, you know, a rerun on top of a rerun on top of a rerun, but a different, you know, a different like fractal layer to it, or a different, you know, just crazy, interesting kind of lifestyle set, or, you know, but ultimately, though, it may not be this outside power kind of orchestrating. It may just be a very natural kind of, you know, within us all, based on, it seems to be based on free will to a certain extent, you know, and
it's both,
and, you know, allowing, giving your permission for things, hence the predictive programming and things like this. Yeah. So, you know, in order to have that grasp on all that stuff, you kind of have to have like some kind of a cache of information, or have a very tight knit family, right? Like, this is the other part where that family becomes super key. It's like when you get those people in your family, you start laying out the family knowledge, the family jewels to them, right? Like, here, now you've got access to the family jewels. Man, I don't think they're talking about rocks, dude. I think they're talking about the secrets, man, you know? And, oh, yeah. And if your family is, you know, really inbred and kind of falling apart, you know, you might want to make some other people part of the family kind of indirectly. So you might form these different groups, right? Or, you know, your son might form a group because he wants a club when he's in high school or whatever. And then you have Skull and Bones, right? So,
right. Yeah.
So, and then that's where it all goes bad. And when it all starts going bad, people start waking up. And then it's like, you know, eventually you get to that wall and you're like, oh, we got to hit the fascist button and break out, you know, the symbolic weapon and wipe everything out. And you know what I mean? Start over. And who knows, man? But you
maybe we keep getting closer to finding it out before they can unleash their plan or something. Cause it does feel like that this time around, or maybe if this is the only time, whatever, it does feel like we're much, the whole goal is to figure it out before they tell us, because they always tell us.
Pretty much. It seems that way. Yeah. And you
we've
know,
yet
figure
to do
out
it
before it's doomed. Yeah. And every time they're like, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Oh, that happened. We told you guys that was going to happen.
Right.
You know, and now you've got a major crazy push of this whole eating blood and all this demonic stuff. And like, so where's that eventually going to go? Like, is it going to become like the Purge? Or are we going to wind up like that? And then boom, there's your depopulation. Everything's legal for a night. You got a bunch of pissed off people.
I mean, they want disillusionment for sure. I mean, that's part of it,
but yeah, dude, definitely.
They could go in so many directions. And this so this has been awesome though, man. This
absolutely,
has been a great
man.
Chat.
It was an awesome tangent.
Hell
for
yeah.
Sure. But you know, I just
what's needed.
That's you know? That's my organic kind of, you know, broken thought process. It's like, same what can here, I man. What can I pull? Why am I finding this interesting right now? You know, yeah. I try to pay attention to those little things, like why am I thinking about this? Well, maybe, you know, give it a little more thought, see where it goes. And, you know, I think that the folks out there kind of are with us on this understanding that, you know, it's not all well orchestrated and it's not all chaotic. It's kind of like this weird mixture of both, which yeah. makes it fun to talk about, right? Like,
absolutely.
It could be aliens, could just be, you know, the Rothschilds, you know, arch enemy, you know, or whatever. Like, it could be any of these things. And man, hopefully, I really do hope though, and I didn't always feel this way, I hope I have some of the answers when I die, so I could be like, oh, nailed it, you know what I mean? Like, when I get into the in-between and I'm like,
yeah,
and I'm like looking back, like, I hope I got at least a couple right, you know, like a 2 out of 10. I'll be stoked with the 2 out of 10, dude, for sure.
Yeah. In the life review, like, I don't care about my shit. Yeah come on. I want to go see what happened with the bushes or something.
Right, like, I knew it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I knew Alex Jones was that comedian. Blah blah yeah. blah, right?
For all sure, right, dude. Well, this has been awesome. And for absolutely. All my listeners, please tell them where they could find you.
Yeah, I'm Random Randy at Red Thread Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at randomfrax, or send me an email, randomfrax@gmail.com. And yeah. Sweet. So, dude, I appreciate it. And where can my listeners find you, sir?
Yeah, the Deep Share on Instagram and Twitter. I'm on Rockfin at rockfin.com/thedeepshare, odyssey.com. Nice. I actually, you know what, they have a, I think everyone on Odyssey gets it, they have a weird kind of address or something with some like numbers and shit. I don't know, but whatever. It's
right,
it's
on
there.
Yeah,
on Odyssey.
I'm
on YouTube. I'm
on Odyssey too. I'll have to start putting more stuff up, but
yeah, contact at thedeepshare.com if you want to hit me up, if you want to be on the show, if you want to argue with my crazy theories, by all means.
Right,
and yeah, patreon.com/thedeepshare. Check it
nice.
Out.
Nice. Right on. Once again, brother, dude, I appreciate the jam session.
Hell yeah,
it was,
man.
It
this
was awesome,
good stuff.
Dude. I'm looking forward to the next time. And man, yeah. May you find more rabbit holes, my friend, and may they treat you
likewise. All right, everybody. Have a great night. Take care.